As an economist, I was in charge of putting together the Outlook session, and one of the things I wanted to look at perhaps a little bit differently than we have in the past is, rather than being so myopically focused on just the farm level output decisions, I wanted to take a look at the consumers of that cotton that we produce and put into the supply chain. Because ultimately it's the demand side of cotton that determines how much cotton is going to flow through that system and what people are willing to pay for it. So we're fortunate enough to have a real expert in that area. Dr. Barry Worsham from Cotton Incorporated has come to speak to us about trends in retail use of cotton. So I'll turn it over to Barry.
Thank you very much, Darren. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I play one on TV, but that's fine. Anyway, I did spend the first half of my career at Cotton Incorporated as their economist, so it actually is good for me to get a chance to come back and talk a little bit about the economics of cotton, particularly in the area of demand. It may not be good for you, but I really do enjoy that. So what I'm going to do today is kind of quickly go through what drives cotton demand or trends in retail use of cotton. And we're going to look at it from two ways. Number one, what is the demand for cotton? How do we model that from an economist's point of view? Then I'll tell you what makes, unfortunately, all those models not very good at predicting the future. And because there's a lot of things that change. The cotton is in the midst of, we grow cotton, but consumers don't buy cotton. They buy jeans, they buy T-shirts, they buy units of products of which contain cotton. So there's a lot of factors that drive it beyond just simply price and income. So from the standpoint of how do we even try to model cotton, you think about what is it we're trying to measure. And the best indicator that we have, it's not perfect, of how much cotton is being used in the U.S. is something we call net domestic consumption of cotton. It's how much the mills use plus how much comes in the form of imports minus what goes out in exports of yarns, fabrics, and finished goods. And what's left is available for consumption in the U.S. So I say that it's not actual use because in periods of strong growth, for example, and when we're refilling the pipelines, we inventories begin to build a little bit, so it actually makes these numbers a little higher than anticipated or than the reality. And when we have a contraction in an economic situation like we've had in several recessions, they cut back on inventories, therefore they're cutting back on imports of goods, and it makes the numbers look worse. But over time, it's probably a pretty good indicator. So basically, from the 1980s through about 2005, 2006, we went from about 9 million bale equivalents of cotton to, in this country, we're using over 20 million, about 22 and a half million bales. And it's been a challenge ever since. A real dip came after the price spike in 2010, but we had some other issues too. We had a financial crisis, and we've kind of been trying to struggle back from a combination of the impact on price and the financial crisis that caused a major recession, particularly in the apparel industry. So what kind of is the major economic drivers of cotton, and how are they changing, and what do we kind of see going forward? So, stop moving. Okay. There we go. Some of these are basics, and sorry for the economics part of this, but things like income, real disposable income is one of the key measures of long-term demand for textile products, not just cotton. Do we have a good measure for that? Yes. Real disposable income is commonly, is put out, so we know how that's trending. Real fiber price for cotton, that makes sense. The higher the price of cotton, that'll tend to cause demand to drop and vice versa. Do we have a good world price for cotton? Yeah, we have a pretty good price, a good measure of the A index, but sometimes that can get distorted a little bit with, like in the last several years when China's internal price deviated so much from the world price that there's not really a clean measure, so it's a reasonably good measure of the price of cotton. What about the fiber price for other fibers? I don't think we have very good measures that go back, 15, 20, 25 years. We have a price of polyester in China, which we've been measuring, looking at. We don't have a long history of that. We don't have good prices for other crop commodities like rayon that go back a long period of time. So we kind of have to estimate best we can. So it's not a great measure and something we desperately need. Real energy prices is an important variable. Why is that? What in the past what's happened is when you've had a rise in real energy prices, consumers continue to drive their cars, they have to heat their houses, they have to do this and that, so it crowds out income, discretionary income, and apparel is a key component of discretionary income. When energy prices come down, frees up cash for other uses, and that's tended to be very good for apparel, and that's really the driver of cotton demand. So real energy prices is a component. Real promotion expenditures for cotton. Darren knows this. He was involved in the estimation of the impact of research and promotion on demand. So we have good measures there, but we don't have very good measures of what the competition is spending in terms of promoting their fibers and doing research. Business cycle, we have good measures there, a number of them. But here's where it really gets murky. Cotton, as I said, about 80% of the demand for cotton goes into apparel. Approximately 20% or so, a little less than that, goes into home fabrics and a few percent in the industrial market. Apparel is driven by massive changes in fashion trends and behavioral changes. It's very difficult to predict that. It's even difficult to measure it, except after the fact. We tend to measure these things with what we call dummy variables, but they're not very good predictors. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of estimation in terms of looking at things in the past. You can do a pretty good job of forecasting the history of cotton demand, but necessarily gives you a great indicator going forward. For example, here's some of those indicators. Real income basically has been rising for a long time. This is adjusted for inflation. You have some hiccups here and there when we've had economic recessions. But that's kind of the best long-term driver we have in terms of textile demand is consumer income. That's a driver of most things that we buy. GDP is a cyclical measure. This is a percent change in our gross domestic product. Historically, we've grown at about 3% rate with a lot of volatility. In the last 10, 15 years, that number has been declined. It has declined to probably no more than about 2%, actually slightly less than 2% in the last decade. So that's been a sort of a negative for cotton. Typically what happens is when you have a spike in the growth rate in GDP, that creates a lot of optimism in the supply chain. Retailers get more optimistic. They start ordering more. They start building inventory. Mills produce more. And it can make these consumption numbers look much better. So we really haven't had that on the upside here in the last decade or so. The only spike we've seen in the last 10 or 15 years was during the financial crisis when we had a massive drop in gross domestic product in 2009 of about 3%. Real energy prices, it's really moved across, all over the board. Back in when cotton was growing in terms of domestic demand, real energy prices were falling. We had a massive increase from about 2000, 2006. Energy prices have been on the decline since. It's kind of a mixed bag. On one hand, real energy prices are reflecting weak economic growth worldwide, which is bad for cotton. On the other hand, energy prices being down does create some opportunities for consumer demand for other things, which we hopefully cotton will be part of that. And real energy prices, real fiber prices. When we say real fiber prices, we're talking about the price of cotton divided by the consumer price index to give you sort of an inflation-adjusted price. And I've got here two lines here. The price of cotton is the dark line. The yellow line is the price of internal price of polyester in China. And really, the key takeaway here is that 2010, when the price of cotton in today's dollars went to close to $2 per pound, the price of polyester, the highest it got in today's dollars, would be close to a dollar. So we had this massive spread between the price of cotton and the price of synthetic fiber, and that created sort of a chain reaction that we're still feeling today in terms of the impact on not only U.S. demand but world demand for cotton as well. We're seeing, fortunately, a little bit of an increase in the price of cotton here lately. And I think the most recent numbers in China, these are annual numbers that doesn't show the monthlies, but the price of polyester, I believe, internally in China is beginning to pick up a little bit. That's actually good for cotton because we don't like this massive gap between the price of cotton and the price of polyester. We'd rather see polyester prices rise to the price of cotton than cotton coming down to the price of synthetic fibers. And just one more here. This is a measure of sort of a promotional measure. This is how much money we have to spend in marketing to promote cotton in the U.S. Well, actually, this is all marketing. This is what the researchers use when they evaluate the impact of research and promotion on the cotton market. So this is inflation-adjusted cotton-incorporated marketing expenditures. That peaked for us, unfortunately, about the mid to late 90s when we began to assess the imports of products coming into the U.S. But a combination of course, price of cotton being down, the production of cotton being down, imports kind of stagnating in the recent years, our ability to promote cotton in the market has dropped by 20-25%, and so our challenge is now to take the money we have and to be more effective in that promotion as we go forward. So these are some of the sort of the key indicators and how they've affected the market. And this is, again, forgive me for the economics part of this. It gets better after this, I hope. But you can explain with some of these variables about 96% of the variation in the movement of net domestic consumption of cotton, about a 2% standard error. And these are sort of what we call the elasticities of some of these variables. So a 1% change in real income, for example, would be about a 0.5% increase in the demand for cotton. If energy prices, for example, went up 10%, we would lose about 1% in the demand for cotton. So you take the percent change in that times this elasticity, and that gives you the impact of cotton. So marketing expenditures is positive. The more we can promote cotton, the better the demand will be. The price of cotton is inversely affected by inversely affects demand for cotton. We did not find, not because it's not there, but there's just not a good data series, I think, that goes back far enough to on the alternative prices for fibers. But we do know they're important, and there you see the GDP number, which is very elastic. The last two is what I want to concentrate on. If you're trying to forecast or predict the what's happened, you find that there can be periods of time when the demand for cotton can be much higher than these variables would indicate, or even lower. In the case of the positive, between 2005 and 2007, the demand for cotton internally was about 9% higher than what any of these market fundamentals would suggest. Some behavioral factor or fashion factors perhaps involved in that were the trends at that time were still to heavier fabrics. You remember the kids were wearing sweatshirts that had sleeves down to the floor, it seemed, at some point. The denim jeans were still hot at that time. That uses a lot of weight. So that was working against it, for us. The apparel market was reasonably strong. And then we've had this in the last 4 or 5 years, a negative effect. And I think it was triggered by the price of cotton. It went up so much in 2010. But since that time, a combination of market share, cheap synthetics, and even a trend in the whole apparel industry, several trends, have caused us to lose about 3.8% of the market per year from 2011 to the last data point that I'm using, which is 2016 estimated. So what I'm going to focus on is what's kind of ruining our perfectly good models. In other words, we can do a good job of forecasting the past, but when using that to predict the future can be very difficult. And these are just some of them. I'll talk a little bit about a few of these. Lighter weight fabrics, that's something you can't predict, or heavier weight fabrics. There's been a huge change in the market in recent years to what we call an active wear boom. Part and parcel to that, as active wear has increased, that tends to be more synthetic oriented. The demand for denim has been hurt. Denim is a product, obviously, that uses a lot of cotton, but it's also a very heavy product. We've seen we knew we were perhaps more susceptible to a price spike than in the past, because from 19, as you'll see, consumers were buying more and more cotton, but they were beginning to check the label less and less. And that gap between our market share and the percentage of consumers that were checking labels was giving us concern way before the price spike. And sure enough, when prices increased, it created a vulnerability. Sustainability remains an issue, not necessarily with the consumers, but with the brands and retailers. up until this point, cotton has had a sort of a negative impression with the retailers and brands have had more of a negative impression towards cotton. That's changing a little bit, especially with some of the problems with synthetic fibers. And we're seeing, last but not least, what's happening with this next generation is they're not as interested in overall spending on apparel as previous generations. This generation is really into iPhones. They're into leisure activities. They're into a lot of things. And the whole apparel market has been under some pressure in the last several years. And that's given that the apparel market is a key component of our demand, that's causing us some issues. So here's this is our best indicator we have on what's happening with the fabric weights. Simply take the amount of cotton, or excuse me, this is all fiber, not cotton. If you take the imports of all fiber as estimated by the USDA in pounds, and you divide it by the imports, same imports in square meters, you can get an estimate of the ounces per square meters. And that was going in our favor from the 1980s to about 2004 or 5. Fabric weights were getting higher. It could be a mix change. It could be going from light products to denim. But since 2004 or thereabouts, and it really started around 2006, the consumer has basically been telling the market we want lighter weight fabrics. And the best we can tell here, it's been about a 20-some percent decline. So the same amount of units bought today would require 20% less fiber in pounds as it did about a decade ago. Now, the good news is this is not going to continue forever. We're not going to be wearing sheer fabrics, see-through fabrics anytime soon. And there are some indications that this trend is leveling off when you're looking at the monthly numbers. So this huge headwind that's been affecting cotton in the last decade is beginning to moderate. And hopefully, if it just moderates and goes flat, that would be a plus for us. Let me just show you a couple of numbers. These are the imports of apparel in square meter equivalents. And if you go back to like 2006, that's to today, this last 10 years, these are monthly numbers. That's a pretty good proxy for the retail market. And that's been on an upward trend of about 2% per year. The good news is it's still on this upward trend. It can be volatile from month to month. These are seasonally adjusted, but nevertheless, they can be very volatile. So the demand for product is growing. It's not growing, 4%, but it is growing 2%. But if you look at the same trend in terms, these are all fibers, in terms of pounds of fiber, you see that it's not an upward trend. It's actually been rather flat. The good news is it's beginning to sort of erratically move higher. But the bad news is over the last decade, we've had virtually of all fibers combined, there's been no net gain in the marketplace. Even though consumers are spending more money, they are spending more money, they're buying more units, but those units tend to be lighter and requires less fiber. So again, the good news is if we could just stabilize fabric weight, then continued growth of 2% or so in the on the square meters will begin to push these apparel numbers by weight up a little bit, and hopefully we'll begin to see that in these next several years. So what's driving the lighter weight? We do a lot of consumer research. Consumers say that 73% say lightweight apparel is more comfortable, 70% say it's more fashionable, but on the plus side, 68% say heavyweight apparel is more durable. And as you'll also see, one of the trends, this fast fashion trend that's been going on where manufacturers make cheap products. It tends to be synthetic. Consumers buy it. They use it for a season and toss it out. That's not very sustainable. And at some point, that is going to change, and cotton is going to have a chance to make a comeback there. And the last is 79% say they prefer a wardrobe mixed with heavyweight and lightweight apparel. So it's not just a one way, and I think there's some opportunities as we go forward. This is one that talked about checking labels. In 1996, when we first started measuring this, 60% of consumers say they usually or always check the fabric content before they bought. By 2006, even though in that time period cotton had gained a bunch of market share in the apparel market, the percent had dropped from 60 to 45%. So consumers really weren't checking. It's the fabric content label is becoming harder to find. And then when the price of cotton went up and retailers started substituting, consumers weren't used to checking. They didn't even know, and some of them, the millennials, didn't even, you know, had never checked. They didn't even know some of these changes were happening. It took a while for that to. Fortunately, this is, it's still reasonably stable. We're beginning to see pockets where it's going back up a little bit, but that's going to be important. It's hard to market consumers to say check for cotton if you're not going to check the fabric content label. And this is particularly a challenge when you actually break it out by age group. For example, even though most age groups have declined in the last couple of decades, the baby boomers or my generation, 53% still say they regularly or always check the fabric content. But the millennials, the young generation, only 31% say they usually or always check. In the middle there's Generation X. They're kind of in the middle of the boomers and the millennials. So you'll see in many of these slides, the challenge is the young group, the millennials, to get them to begin to care about what's in the fiber. Okay. What's in the fabric. The good news for cotton is that when we ask consumers about basic attributes, what cotton versus polyester versus rayon, what's the most comfortable, what's the most sustainable, what's the most trustworthy, soft, versatile, almost any of these indicators, you see that cotton outscores the polyester and rayon. So it's not that consumers don't like cotton, it's just they haven't been looking for it. And so we still have a product that consumers want. And we've checked this across the world with the Cotton Council International. Oops, I don't think those numbers showed up on my. Oh, you can see them, and it's very similar across the board. Similar to the U.S. So again, globally, consumers still like cotton. Our job is to either get products made with cotton, make it better and more competitive in some of these markets, and two is to be able to communicate to consumers why they should care about the fabrics that are in the fiber that's in their fabrics. This has been a tough headwind for us. The activewear market, I don't have to, these are just projections, but basically the activewear market has been very strong in the last decade or 5 years or so, 5 to 10 years. Activewear would be, you see consumers walking around with athletic type garments, or women wearing the yoga pants, or basically wearing things that look like you'd be better off in the gym, or playing football or something. They're wearing it as every day. Why is that tough for cotton? Is because those markets tend to be synthetic oriented. They tend to be performance driven. It requires a lot of stretch, certainly in the case of yoga pants, some more stretch than others, but that's another topic. But nevertheless, it hurts cotton because it has tended to crowd out markets like denim, which is a high cotton content market. It's also a heavyweight product. When we interview consumers about the activewear market, they're wearing these products not just to work out in, but for every day. And that's true whether you talk to the millennials or the overall. Most agree that the athleisure, that's the new term, leisure market and athletic market. This means you wear your athletic wear kind of sitting around or not doing much, but it has been a major trend, and that can change, but nevertheless that's been a headwind for cotton. We develop products, technologies that help us compete in that market. What we find is when we ask consumers, cotton is the best in sort of what category. So we've taken the activewear, we've broken it out, and sitting at home, running errands, light workout or tough workout. So the farther to the left you are in this graph, the more you're going to sweat. So the more you sweat, the less they like cotton. The less you sweat, the better they tend to like cotton. Hopefully that will begin to change with as these technologies are making their way into the market. But nevertheless, we still have an opportunity in the leisure side of the athleisure market. Denim is still a major market for cotton. In the U.S., it's not quite as large as Europe and North America. It will exceed Europe probably in the next several years. Denim has not grown nearly as fast as the activewear market. And even within denim, the denim products today, as you've noticed, have gotten lighter. They include other fibers as well. They include performance characteristics like stretch and moisture management and other kind of characteristics. And one of the questions that we ask consumers is, what is denim your first pick in casual wear? Among the millennials, that went from 80% in 2006 down to 68% today. Gen X, the middle, that's actually improved, and baby boomers is still pretty strong. So it's these younger consumers who are looking at other things beyond denim. So the challenge in the denim industry is going to be reconnecting with this millennial group as to why that should be the first choice versus the yoga pants and the other kinds of products that are out there. So part of the strategy that denim manufacturers are using is we've got to make denim perform. It's not just the old heavy denim anymore, especially in the women's wear. It's got to have stretch. It's got to have a sheen. It's got to, be comfortable. So, that's going to be one of the challenges going forward. I mentioned this throwaway fashion. Some of these major retailers like H&M and Inditex and others, they've had very rapid growth. That tends to be synthetic oriented. So there's now all of a sudden we're beginning to see some reports. Is fast fashion really sustainable with buying cheap garments and tossing them away after a couple years? It's ultimately going to end up in a landfill. This is where cotton could have a competitive advantage, and we'll try to market that. And again, even in fast fashion, when we interview shoppers and by age group, it's the millennials that like this the best. So on the one hand, the millennials are concerned about the environment. On the other hand, they're doing something that's completely counter to the environment in this fast fashion. So that's a challenge that we face as an organization of how to communicate the advantages of cotton. Another one is online shopping. Consumers will go to the store to buy goods, but they still get their information online many times. And oftentimes, fiber content is either inaccurate or not listed in the online. So we've asked consumers which would influence your online purchases. We got various things, and fiber information did make its way at least to 50%. So we'll try to use this information to talk to brands and retailers about if you are selling cotton goods or you have consumers do want to know more about what's in that product, and I think that would ultimately be a benefit to cotton. And last but not least, sustainability. This has not been a driver at the consumer level in terms of they're not going into stores looking for green labels or not, but they are concerned about the environment, and it's the brands and retailers who are really concerned about sustainability and making sure that they're not doing anything that's going to be perceived negatively by the consumer, because the consumers have said ultimately that they hold the brands and retailers accountable. So on the one hand, the consumers, this is not a driving issue of the consumer, but on the other hand, this still is an issue at the brand and retailer. So this is a lot of what we've been working on the last decade, is trying to change the mindset of the brands and retailers as to the advantages of cotton, the fact that the cotton production systems today are much different than they were 20 years ago. We've got metrics to show the environmental improvement in cotton production, not only in the U.S., but in other countries as well. And now you're beginning to see some issues raised with the synthetics, particularly the plastics in the ocean that are making the fibers are coming out in the wash. They're getting into the streams. They're actually making their way into the oceans. Actually, they're finding evidence of this in fish as well. So this could be a growing issue that maybe we can get a competitive advantage back in that area. Consumers still believe cotton is good for the environment. 89% say cotton is safe for the environment, but only 32% say they actively seek out sustainable apparel, and I'd be willing to bet that the real number is much less than that. So a lot of times they tell you what they think they want to say they are, but they really don't. So with that, just sort of in conclusions, that we know that economic models can't capture all the variables needed to accurately forecast cotton demand. We know that promotion does matter. We've been facing a lot of headwinds, from the economy to lighter weight fabrics to product shifts from denim to activewear. These were unforeseen headwinds. If somebody tells you it's only about price, that's not accurate. It's far more than just about price. But these headwinds could change, and they could become tailwinds as we go forward. The full impact of online shopping and sustainability remains to be seen. We have, as an industry, have to turn sustainability into a positive for cotton. So with all that, again, we've got some factors that are going in our favor. The economy's improving a little bit. Our prices are competitive, more than they were several years ago. They've been more stable. That's even better. And some of these headwinds that we've seen, like lighter weight fabrics, at least beginning to moderate a bit. And if we could just get a couple of these to go in our favor, we could see a unexpected boost in cotton demand in these next several years. And that's what we'll be working to achieve. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to talk about the cotton on the demand side and mixing in a little of the economics part. But you got to take a little of that. Thank you.
Any questions? All right. You did a great job.
Thank you.
When you get